Welcome to Arizona Cardinals Underground, presented by Ram Trucks. Guts, glory, Ram.
Touchdown, Arizona!
The latest news and notes from the guys who cover the team.
Somebody open the front door! Stevens Howling's coming in!
Oh, baby!
Wells runs over a defender, knocks his helmet off, and gets into the end zone for a touchdown.
From Cardinals headquarters in Tempe.
Adrian Wilson just ate his liver with fava beans and a fine Chianti.
Touchdown, Larry Fitzgerald!
This is football at its finest.
Here's Paul Calvisi.
Get your rear right back in the locker room.
All right, guys, I tell you what, let's get going here. We're going to huddle up here on Cardinals Underground, Ram Trucks, Guts, Glory, Ram. We're all brought to you, yes, in the name of Ram Trucks here on azcardinals.com. Huddle up. Here's the game plan. You guys ready? I'm going to draw this up right here in the carpet. Wolf, you need the conductor hat over there.
Okay.
Maybe some overalls. You're from Greater Buffalo. You probably have a pair of overalls in your closet as we speak.
Indeed.
Darren, you're going to have the train whistle. And I'm going to shout all aboard. And we're just going to do this on three. And this train is leaving the station. Everyone get on board the bandwagon right now, or you're just going to miss right here at the depot. You're going to be left standing right there on the platform.
Sounds like a children's show, Paul.
Yeah, kind of like that, yeah. Because, come on, guys, that bandwagon. I mean, I'm looking at something right now. In this power poll, one guy has the Cardinals starting 7-0. Thank you, Wolf.
Well, that was a big laugh Wolf.
I'm sorry.
Okay, some guy from FoxSports.com, and I'm sure this guy probably buried the Cardinals coming out of August, and now he has the Cardinals soaring to a 7-0 record before facing San Francisco at home on October 29th, quote, end quote.
Hey, I saw the Yahoo power rankings, and I can't stand power rankings, to be honest, but the Yahoo power rankings have the Cardinals as number one in the entire league right now.
Seriously?
Yep.
This one here, the AP has them 6, and I saw, I think ESPN Power Rankings have them 5.
Correct.
Well, you know what, when you think about it, though, again, let's just go ahead and muse for a while, shall we? The Arizona Cardinals are 3-0, correct, Paul? They are 3-0.
Yes, yes. I can verify that much.
There are only two other teams in the National Football League, I believe, that are 3-0 as well. I'm being a little facetious here, Paul. I was waiting for you to chime in there.
You want me to name names?
Look at the wins the Arizona Cardinals have. Okay, now we can all look at Seattle and go, there's no way they should be 2-1. And you are correct, sir.
They should not be 2-1.
Okay, but guess what? They are 2-1. And by the way, that Seattle team, the thing that is getting lost in what happened on Monday night is that Seattle team is going to be a team to be reckoned with. I'm telling you right now, they have everything you need to get into the postseason and do well in the postseason, except they've got a question mark at quarterback. They believe he's going to develop. Russell Wilson is going to develop into the quarterback of the future. That's great. But I will tell you this, they have a take no quarter defense, and they also have a running game. They have the hardest working, hardest running back in the National Football League in Marshawn Lynch. He is unbelievable to watch him run the ball, the way he struggles and fights for every yard he can get. I'm so impressed with the Seattle Seahawks and how they play the game of football. They've got one big question mark, and that's at the Q, granted. But to me, you beat Seattle, you beat New England on the road, and you beat Philly, a team that had just beat the Baltimore Ravens. The 3-0, all 3-0s are not created equal. And when you look at the Arizona Cardinals, you could build a real case for saying they've got the best 3-0.
And they made Michael Vick look bad in that offense, which was ranked number one coming into the game. And,
bad.
And Tom Brady ended up setting some career lows, or at least, you know, low watermarks for recent Patriots history in that game. So you just didn't win. You dominated at times.
But they're still my number five on my power poll for the record, okay?
I see.
Having said all of that, okay? Again, prove it. Remember when Adrian Wilson, back during the Super Bowl year, remember when he broke out the prove it T-shirt? Remember, Paul, and we had our little back and forth over it because I wanted to add one thing underneath the prove it T-shirt of A-Dub every day. And this, again, what's happening here over the last 12 games cannot be denied. It cannot be disputed or debased in any way, shape, or form. But I will say, Every year is a separate entity. And because of that, I want to see the Arizona Cardinals adopt that prove it mentality that they had back when they were rolling to NFC West titles. Prove it.
You know what's great?
That do happen again.
Is 4 years later, you're still wrong, just to let you know, because every day is implied in the phrase, prove it. You don't need the words every day. It defines you perfectly because it's too long-winded.
It's floating around, prove it. It's floating all over. It's ambiguous, Paul. It's this nebulous, prove it.
Yeah.
Prove it every day. Put it in context.
Who looks at a t-shirt that says prove it and thinks they mean every other day or every third week?
I'll tell you why. Because most people think it's only attached to a game, Paul. Prove it, right? No, you prove it every day you show up for work.
It's okay. Darren needs to come in at this point.
Did you need me?
You need to be the white hat coming down the sideline to intervene, yet you're not doing that just like on Monday night. That's the problem right now, Darren.
Wow.
So I'm looking at this one writer here, longtime NFL beat writer, and he attaches the word stunning in front of 3-0 start. Arizona Cardinals, stunning 3-0 start. Since you're the wordsmith around here, what other adjectives do you put in front of 3-0 at this point?
Enjoyable. I'm going to go with enjoyable right
now.
Okay, yeah, check that box.
It's interesting how this has all played out. I mean, I think even the most diehard of fans and probably if you really got down to brass tacks, people inside the team, players and stuff, if you would have said absolutely expect 3-0, I mean, you want to win every week, but the way it works in this league is you don't. And to be 3-0 at this point, given the schedule they've had, I mean, obviously Seattle is a very tough team. I mean, let's face it, the odds makers had the Cardinals as underdogs in each of the three games. And I was reading something today where that's happened very, very few times over the past 30, 35 years in NFL history. A team is an underdog the first three games and they win all three of them. So,
The coaches didn't make note of that in Saturday night speech. They made darn sure the team knew that they just won at New England, came home, and they were installed as an underdog.
Ding.
Well, and the bottom line is at this point, I think it served them well to be the underdog. In fact, you look at the power rankings, you look at the teams that want to give them props, and the players couldn't get away from the accolades fast enough earlier this week when they're talking about it. I'm sure that will be continuing to be the message because you want to stay in the mental mindset that has gotten you to 3-0. And what that's been is, hey, we're the underdog. Now, as they pile up wins, if they continue to win, it's going to be harder and harder to sidestep that.
See, to me, this speaks, though, directly to the leadership in the locker room, in the type of players that you are bringing into the locker room. What I love the most is, it's one thing to say, oh, yeah, you know what, look, we're the underdogs, we're little old me, we don't get any respect. You can say all the right things in front of the microphone. You can say all the right things in front of the camera. You can say all the right things in front of people, writing it down in print, right? You can do that. It's quite another thing to go home at night and lay there in your bed when all is quiet and look at the shadows creeping across the ceiling and say to yourself, man, you know what? We better not get complacent. We better show up, right? And that's what I think the Arizona Cardinals have in that locker room. And guess who sets the tone? Larry Fitzgerald. He is your best football player, and yet Larry is steeped in humility when it comes to playing the game of football and walking in between the white lines and saying, you're only as good as your next game out. He believes that. He is driven on the football field. And then you surround him defensively with guys like Calais Campbell, Darrell Washington, Patrick Peterson, Sam Acho. Do these guys seem like the haughty type to you? Because they don't to me. They seem like guys who understand every week you've got to go out and you've got to do it and forget about being the underdog, forget about being the favorite, forget about people giving you your props and power polls and stuff. Forget about all that nonsense because it doesn't matter. It doesn't mean anything. What matters is the next game. This locker room is uniquely built to be able to handle their situation.
You know, we were cutting sound bites for TV that night, and the reaction we got from one of the editors is no one's smiling. He's expecting jubilation. He's expecting celebration in the Cardinals locker room, and it's been anything but. They may have stunned and surprised and shocked the rest of the NFL, but I don't sense that in that locker room at all. They haven't surprised themselves or overachieved in their minds.
Well, I'll be honest, you know, and obviously I've got a view of this that, you know, the better this team does, the better for me, obviously, in a lot of ways. But I was really surprised with how many people were thinking Philadelphia was going to come in here and win, especially given all their issues. You know, I wasn't necessarily surprised to see them handle Michael Vick that way. They've done it every time they've ever played him.
True.
Whether it was in Atlanta or in Philadelphia, if you look at the statistics, Michael Vick, and it's across defensive coordinators for this team, Michael Vick has never had success against the Cardinals. Now, his team has won a couple times, but personally, he has never had any good games against them. So I was kind of expecting them to do well defensively. The question was going to be, what could they do offensively? And obviously, at this point, Kevin Cobb is playing the best football that he has played since he got to Arizona. You know, some of it, I'm sure, is how they're game planning it. Some of it is the scheme of what they're trying to do. And some of it clearly is he's made progress and take a step forward. And I think if they can continue to do it, and it, as Wolf was mentioning earlier, if they can get some kind of consistent running game at some point, which, you know, is still a question mark, you know, they're going to be very, very tough to beat because this defense I don't see going anywhere.
You know, but it's not just that, though, also, D. It's also the willingness to run the football and gain 2 yards.
Yes.
It's also the willingness to say, okay, you've got an 8-man front. We're not going to check out every time. Not every time. We're not going to do that. We're not going to check to a pass every time you jump into an 8-man front. At some point in time, you've got to be able to run the ball against that 8-man front, take 2 yards and be happy with it. Take 3 yards and say, okay, you know, 3 yards in a cloud of dust, that's fine. Now we're in 2nd and 7. You got to be willing to do that in order to do what? To keep play action alive. Did you happen to see what happened at University of Phoenix Stadium? Of course, a little play action out of regular, two backs, Larry Fitzgerald, max protection, runs a post down the middle of the field. The safety bites a little bit on the play action, then you run a guy over the middle that sucks the safety up, and now Nnamdi Asamoah believes he's playing cover three and he has safety help in the middle of the field and doesn't even guard Larry Fitzgerald, which was bizarre to me, the way he backed off and the ball is in the air. That was off of play action, that 37-yard touchdown to Fitz. You go back, you look at the film, those backers for Philly sucked up.
Yes.
Big time on that. Okay. Why? The Cardinals weren't necessarily running the ball effectively, running it very well. They sucked up because you've got to honor the run when a team shows you we're going to do it. We don't care if we get 2 yards. But again, that means your defense overall has got to be playing well where you're in the game or you've got a lead where you can commit to that.
See, and I agree with the last thing, that the point that I want to make is the willingness to run it, those 2 yards, is because you know you have a defense playing that well. I mean, I think in the past, there's no question that there was a feeling like more points had to be scored because you weren't sure if the defense could hold up all the time. And right now there is such confidence in this defense. There's such confidence that they won't be beaten. There's such confidence that they will get the job done that you know, running the ball not only opens up play action, not only makes the defense honor it, but inevitably it burns some clock and it's the safest thing you can do. And the last thing you want to do is turn the ball over and give short fields to teams with this defense, because Dave Zass still having a great season.
Man.
Ding.
He's able to change the field position. You let your defense work. The Cardinals are winning the field possession game. They've got a punt returner who does well. They have a punter who does well. They have a defense that doesn't give up a lot of long drives. Just don't screw it up if you're on the offense right now. And I think that's a lot of what the Cardinals are doing.
You know, I just want to go back to the New England game again, because the importance of the New England game was the fact that it gave the Arizona Cardinals, every player in that locker room, a blueprint right in their hand. I talked about it then. I'll continue to talk about it as the season unfolds. The blueprint was there. That we can beat anybody in any stadium at any time if we do A, B, and C. And D, by the way, throw D in there, right? You got to have a great defense. The Arizona Cardinals did that. The special teams has got to continue to make plays. They did it again against the Philadelphia Eagles, right? Kevin Cobb, you can't throw picks. You need to understand the psychological damage it does to a football team when you throw picks. Fumbles, that's one thing. Most players look at that and say, that's an accident. We get it. We understand. You could be cradling the ball, protecting it. Somebody gets the buckles on the knuckles, the thing comes out. The psychological damage of throwing a pick is this. It says, guess what? You made a mistake and they made a play. They're winning. It does damage when you throw picks, let alone the tangible that it has on field position, whether you're going in or whether they're going in, Rao. I mean, it's not only that, too. It's your willingness to run the football. Those four things, the Arizona Cardinals have got a blueprint for success, and they did the exact same thing against the Philadelphia Eagles, and they're 3-0.
Buckles on the knuckles. I like that.
But, Wolf, if the offense was sitting here, they'd be like, now, wait a minute. That sort of scouting report is like going on a blind date, and you ask how to go, and you say, well, she has a great personality. You know, the offense,
that's true.
Right, their offense right now would be like, wait a minute. And what did we say throughout the preseason? What did we say leading up to this season? We know the Cardinals have a decent defense. How good, we don't know. We're finding that out through 3 weeks. We know the Cardinals are number one in special teams. If they can just get a quarterback and get efficient, productive play at quarterback, what do you have on your hands? You have a playoff team. You have a legitimate playoff caliber team. So if they continue to get play from Kevin Cobb like this, what's the upside?
Oh, boy. It's huge. It is. Now, look, what I want to say is this. Kevin Cobb, what he's doing, it's real. It's tangible. He's doing it.
Yes.
It's in the books. It's indisputable how well he's played in these three games that he's played in. But look, forgive me. It's still a small sample size when you talk about three games, especially coming off how poorly he looked in preseason.
Yeah.
He just did not play well in preseason. I think Kevin would tell you that himself. I don't know what the change is. I don't know what has happened, but I do know this. The number four that I see, Kevin Cobb, playing in these games, regular season games, is not the same guy that I saw playing in the preseason.
I say it's three things. You guys ready? You can agree or disagree. Number one, the expectations are over with. The weight of the QB competition, every single snap, every single meeting, everything seemingly being evaluated, that weight is off his shoulder pads.
I would agree
with
that.
It's relaxed him.
It's gone.
It's gone. And you know what? He lost. And so he said, what do I have to lose anymore?
Right.
So there's sort of a carefree attitude right now. Number two, I think the confidence of leading that game-winning drive against Seattle. I think that's the gift that keeps on giving. I think that restored his confidence.
And, huge.
And I think what it did is it restored the confidence of the locker room. If it was waning at all, I think the rest of the guys in that locker room said, whoa, wait a minute, he can play the game. And I think that meant a lot to him. And then if you ask Ken Wisenhall, like I did in the post-game radio interview, what's the difference? Why does he look so different in September than he did in August? And his one and only response to me was competition. Sometimes competition brings out the best in players. That's one of the main reasons we did it in the first place. So I think it's three things. I don't know if we know for sure. I don't know if Kevin Cobb knows for sure. But there's no doubt there's a before and after here. It's like your weight loss, Wolf. You know, what you were last season and what you are this season. You know, you ought to be on that poster with Kevin Cobb right now.
You know that forehead too. It's receding, Paul. It's receding. It's a good point. It's a good analogy. I get it, Paul. Your forehead.
Darren's looking at him. See,
your hairline
funny,
used to be here, and this year it's receding. Okay. It's going back. Yeah. Look, but again, Kevin Cobb in this game too. He played his best game.
Yes.
In my opinion, as an Arizona Cardinal, he was not just managing the offense. He was dealing. Dare I say, he was dealing for
seven
a guy
for seven
that threw
on third
downs. For a guy that threw the ball only 24 times and only had 222 passing yards, I understand that. But watching him, anyone who watches this film sees a guy that was back there, was confident. He showed poise in the pocket. He showed poise in the pocket against a team that it's so difficult to do that, right? To show poise in a pocket against that pass rush with the Eagles and the guys screaming off the edge. Are you kidding me? And if he can do it there, he can do it against anybody, in my opinion.
One of the things I liked about this game was actually obviously a negative for the Cards, but it was really the first time that I can remember since he got here that when Kevin Cobb got sacked, it wasn't the end of the world and had a greater meaning other than they sacked him on that play. That was the first game that I really can remember that being, okay, they sacked him. It wasn't, oh my God, why is he horrible? It wasn't, oh my God, the offensive line is terrible. It was just, hey, they sacked him. They got to him and they sacked him, and that happened. Which obviously part of that is because you're having success on other downs. You know, like I was just saying, I read somewhere that he threw seven passes on third downs, completed all seven of them. Now, obviously, he was sacked on a couple third downs, but still, I mean, look, it's not going to be perfect. It's not perfect with anybody. Ask Aaron Rodgers, regardless of how that game ended on Monday night. Ask Aaron Rodgers that first half when he got sacked 8 times. I mean, you know, even the great quarterbacks aren't going to have the best times. Drew Brees has had his bumps. If Kevin Cobb can play like this, wow, the Cardinals are going to be in great shape.
And he found Larry Fitzgerald 9 times.
So, bingo, Paul.
So let me ask you something here, Wolf. Okay, a year ago, 2011, they beat Philadelphia. Larry Fitzgerald, 7 grabs, 146 through the air, 2 touchdowns, and NFC Offensive Player of the Week for the first time in his career.
Yeah.
You play Philly the next season, you cover him the same way, essentially, allegedly, and he goes 9 grabs for 114 yards, a touchdown, including his 700th, youngest to ever do that. And he's named NFC Offensive Player of the Week again. I thought this was a league of adjustments. What happened? Why wouldn't you cover him differently?
I think there's a lot of overconfidence here when you look at the Philadelphia Eagles. They have DRC. They have Nnamdi Asamoah. They said, you know what? Larry's not a burner, not going to run by anybody. We feel great. They play man cover. They play it more than anybody else in the league. And, yeah, there could be some real overconfidence there, saying, hey, we're going to get to that. We're going to get to Kevin Cobb. Are you kidding me with our four-man rush? They've got DeAnthony Batiste and Bobby Massey as their tackles. We're going to get there. Don't worry about that. Larry's not going to kill us. Our guys will be able to hold up against Fitz. And I will also say this. Mike Miller did a great job moving Larry Fitzgerald around, lining him up more times in the slot and letting him run a lot of drag routes across the middle of the field. So when they did go zone, there was Larry popping in front of Kevin Cobb, and Kevin, to his credit, got him the football.
Miami, what do we know? What should we know, Darren, about the Miami Dolphins coming to town?
Well, there's two things that pop into my head right away. One, they got a rookie quarterback, which would seem to be not the greatest situation going against this defense right now. And two, they've got a really, really a running back who is really basically reborn in Reggie Bush, but he may not be able to play because he's, you know, dealing with a knee injury. And those two things obviously seem to play in the Cardinals defense favor. Now, I did talk to Vonnie Holiday this week, and he said this is really the first time they're going to be playing a power running team as opposed to a zone type of blocking running scheme, and he's very curious to see how that holds up. I had mentioned to him, you know, the Eagles got a lot of yards on the ground, gashed them pretty good in the second half. Now, the Cardinals had a big lead, and it ended up meaning nothing in the grand scheme of things because they only got a couple of field goals. And I basically posed to Vonnie, I'm like, look, you know the game plan better than me, but, you know, it kind of looked like you guys were basically saying, we're going to take away all the deep passes, and if you guys want to run it for 8 yards a time, fine. We're going to make you burn clock and whatever, which is exactly what happened. And he looked at me, and he's like, I can't agree with that. We can't. They spread us out. They ran the ball. We have got to defend the run better than that, even in that situation. And like I said, he was talking about how they were going to defend the run this week, no matter who's back there. And I think that's something – you know, that's something they need to work on. And again, that goes back to what we were talking about earlier, which is here's a defense playing really, really well, coming off a fantastic game, hard to find anything that was wrong with it. And he's talking about we didn't defend the run very well, exactly. And we're not happy about it. I mean, they're talking about their own negatives.
Exactly.
And I think that says a lot.
Says a ton, D. I mean, Paulie, I look at the Miami Dolphins, and to me, I think of Ryan Tannehill, as D just said, no doubt about a rookie quarterback. What kind of matchup is that going to be against Ray Horton? The other thing I think of is that defense for the Miami Dolphins. They have a very, very good defense. They're number 3 in rushing yards per game allowed. They're number 2 in rushing yards per play allowed. That tells you right there, okay, they're just not giving it up. They're giving up 2.47 yards every time somebody tries to run the ball against them. The Miami Dolphins, their problem is pass defense. That's where they've really struggled. And one of the reasons why is they just don't have a pass rush. They've been struggling getting any type of pressure on the quarterback. It would seem like a great game for Kevin Cobb in this improving offensive line, especially those tackles coming off what they just faced. It would seem like this is a positive matchup. Yeah, we're going to run the ball anyways. We haven't been running it very effectively to begin with. We've been running into the pile. And yet the Miami Dolphins have a good rush defense. So I see that being a complete wash because you're going to run the ball anyways just to keep three dimensions available on your offense. And, you know, to me, it's got to be Kevin Cobb getting the ball down the field again against this weak pass defense. That's going to be the matchup of this game.
Speaking of pass defense, how about Kerry Rhodes? He was nominated for NFC Defensive Player of the Week. Four tackles. He had a sack. He had a forced fumble. He had a pass defensed. And, you know, him alone, not to mention everyone else, made Michael Vick earn every penny of that $100 million contract. And you know what? Dare I say he did earn it on that day, because can you imagine how sore Michael Vick must have been Monday morning? Him and Brent Celek.
I've never seen anything like that, honestly. 21 hurries, 13 knockdowns, and 5 sacks. Honestly, 13 knockdowns? After 2 weeks, if your quarterback was knocked down double digits, you know, that's not great. That's not good. That was unbelievable, the pummeling that Michael Vick took.
That's why I'm curious to know, I mean, if you're the Dolphins, what do you do with Ryan Tannehill, especially if Reggie Bush is not being able to
play? You run the ball, and you try to lean on that power running game.
Are the Dolphins still on Hard Knocks? Are they still filming the HBO cameras? How's that working?
I believe that's over, Paul.
It's over? Okay.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the scene where Joe Philbin was picking up the gum wrappers off the practice field.
Yeah.
He's so meticulous that this entire, you know, I mean, it's these two full football fields, and he sees this little speck over in the grass, and he picks it up, puts it in his pocket. That's unacceptable. We can't have that wrapper on the field.
He just seems almost too nice sometimes. I love him, though. Big fan of Joe Philbin. Yeah.
It's a big difference, though, to be coaching Aaron Rodgers in the level he played last year in one moment, and then next moment trying to deal with Ryan Tannehill. With all due respect to Ryan Tannehill, who might turn out to be a great quarterback, but
sure.
I mean, a raw rookie, probably
Ryan
the
Tannehill
rawest out of all of them.
Not Aaron Rodgers.
No.
We'd all agree on that.
You can take off the conductor hat. Next week, bring the overalls, though, for us, okay? If you'd be so kind.
Do you really have overalls?
Do you, Wolf?
No, I don't.
Okay. Are you sure?
That's ridiculous.
Are you
Paul.
Sure?
All aboard the choo-choo train.
You know?
All aboard.
In storage
all
somewhere.
Aboard.
In a box marked Buffalo. You got to have some overalls somewhere. Come on, in the garage.
No overalls, Paul. Even when I went to West Virginia. Well, my God.
Oh, good. I like overalls. That.
Yeah. If we look at your class picture in the West Virginia yearbook, you're not in overalls? You're sure about that? Okay. For Ron Wolfley, Darren Urban, Jim Omahunder, I'm Paul Calvisi. It is Cardinals Underground and azcardinals.com, brought to you by Ram Trucks. Guts, glory, Ram.